ladies, you better get ready for your men to become men of God. Pastor Doug chaired a visionary strategy meeting for the men's ministry this morning. I got to be a part of that. And our heart's cry is for the men of the kingdom of God. And understanding that we are the leaders of our households, and we are going to go deep. Everybody say deep. Women, thank you for all your prayers. Hallelujah. That would lead us men to lead other men. Hallelujah. To get your men where you want them to be as well. So I'm really excited about what God is doing in this church and what he's about to do in this men's ministry. You women had a fantastic event. I was talking with my wife last night, and of course to get caught up this morning with Pastor Barb shared. This church is on the move, and I beseech you in the name of the Lord to just get ready to just stand up and become who God's called you to be for such a time as this. Amen? Well, this is part 4 of 4 of Your Gift Will Be Challenged Before It Will Produce the Harvest. So Bishop and Pastor Gloria will be here next week. Please invite family, friends. Let's pack this place out. It is going to be an awesome time. So I want to open with scripture in Jeremiah 29. And before we go to the one part, you don't need to put this up just yet, Mitch. I just want to see if I can read something because there's a scripture in here, which is verse 11 in Jeremiah 29. And it's a scripture that we're all familiar with, and we've all probably quoted. If you've been around the kingdom of God, you know this scripture. But I'm going to read this scripture that we're familiar with, and then we're going to rewind, and then we're going to read it down through, okay? So it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord." Hallelujah! Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It says, "Then you'll call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me." Isn't that an awesome scripture? Well, I want to rewind in the book of Jeremiah here, and I want to start with verse 4. I want to read to you, and let me set this up first, which is basically Jeremiah the prophet is going to send a letter to God, or from God, to God's people who are imprisoned in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Anybody want to live in Babylon when you could live in Jerusalem? No, I want to live in Jerusalem. Amen. And so he starts off in verse 4, and it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive." And some of you in this room have been carried away, and you're captive in something in your life this morning. It says, "Whom I," everybody say I. Who's talking here? God. "I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." So God is coming right out in the beginning. He says, "I've got you right where I want you. I've got you right where I need you." But how many people know when you're not in Jerusalem, it's not very fun to be in Babylon? See, Babylon's a place you'd go like Las Vegas for a weekend, right? Hallelujah, we're not going to Las Vegas. Babylon was not a nice place. Babylon was a city of tremendous sin, and God dealt with that. But what I want to focus on this morning is that God has you really right where he needs you to be. And if you'll learn to trust that, and that's what we're going to get into here in these following scriptures here. If you just trust that God has you right where he needs you, he's about to give some instructions to the people of Israel that we can actually bring into our lives as well. It says, "Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." And God instructs them. He says, "Build houses. Dwell in Babylon. Plant gardens. Eat fruit." He's telling them, get comfortable because we ain't going anywhere anytime soon. "Take wives. Have some sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons." Uh-oh, this is a whole another generation coming up. You don't get married until you're an adult. "And give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, and that you may be increased," where? there, right where God put you, and not diminished in any way. It says, seek the peace. This is where I want to focus the whole message this morning. Because wherever you're going to be in your life, you are going to need to establish peace. It says, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For what? For peace. For in its peace, you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in the midst deceive you. Which means don't let everybody around you try to talk you into the story that has nothing to do with the truth of where God has you right there in that moment. There's going to be people all around you. Oh, well, you know this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it does suck to be in Babylon. I'm tired of this. I want to go and live like I used to live. I want to go and do what I used to do. But when God's got you in a place that he needs you, trust me, there is purpose in that place. It says, don't listen to your dreams that you caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. It says, for thus says the Lord. Uh-oh, how many years are they going to be there? After 70 years are completed at Babylon. 70 years. I will visit you and perform my good word to you and cause you to return to this place. And then it shifts into that beautiful scripture. For I am the Lord, and I have good thoughts for you and good intentions for you and all of these kinds of things. But those thoughts and those intentions weren't in Jerusalem. They were right then in Babylon, where God had planted them, where God had established them, where God said, I have a purpose for what I need you to do. And if you will simply seek peace in this place, you will create the peace that you need within the confines I've put you in. We're all facing something, guys. Every single one of us are facing something. And we've got to come to the terms that our gifts will be challenged. They will be challenged. Challenged in what way? Well, I can't be in peace and in fear at the same time. I can't be in peace and in doubt at the same time. I've got to set my mind like a thermostat onto peace and say, you know what? I'm not going to be convinced by where God has placed me, where he has called me, where he has equipped me to be, and I'm not going to allow myself to get distracted by all the things that are around me, what I'm seeing, people around me, the diviners, all of these false prophets, all of my dreams and my aspirations of what I'd rather be doing, rather than establishing peace right in the midst of where God has planted me. I think in the body of Christ and around the world, it's even get outside the church, people tend to give up. People tend to quit. People tend to settle. People tend to just, you know, well, it's not worth the fight. It's not worth going through all this. You know what? That was a great inspiring message that Pastor Barb gave this day, but you know what? I don't know if I can live that. I don't know if I can do that. You're not only can do it, you are called and equipped to do it. And the beautiful thing about you is there's only one of you. One of you. Uniquely, divinely inspired to do what God has called you to do. And instead of looking at your circumstances and going, why am I here? Why does it suck so bad? Why? You should be going, wait a second here. No, God's put me here. And if God doesn't want me here, he'll move me to wherever he wants me to be. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. It matters, am I going to pass the test? Am I going to do what God's called me to do? Or am I going to murmur and complain? We know all the story about Moses, right? Walking around that mountain. They could have walked right from captivity right into the promised land within a few days. And instead, they chose to murmur and complain and be in this state that had nothing to do with peace and everything to do with their circumstances, and how impossible it would be to become something that God called them to be. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. This is Jesus talking. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, that what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Look at nature," he says. "For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heaven," whose heavenly Father? "Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Which of you can by worrying add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil, they don't spin. And I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you or take care of you right where he planted you?" The other interesting thing about a plant is it doesn't wander. It doesn't go from one place to the other and say, "Oh, it looks better over there." Maybe some of you have seen a tree do that in your neighborhood. It got planted. It says, "Boy, that yard over there where Anthony lives, that looks like a nice yard over there. I want to unplant myself, unroot myself, and go plant myself over there." No, wherever that plant is planted, it is designed to thrive in that place. It says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith." Little faith. Pastor Barb was just up here a moment ago, and she's like, "You should come to this church expecting God to move in such a way that you would, I mean, just blow your mind what God is interested in doing." Peace can come at any moment that we choose to invite it into our lives. Verse 31, "Therefore, do not worry." I mean, Jesus is going on a tangent here. He is spending some time here. He wants to make sure people, his disciples, his people, understand that this thing called worry is not going to work for you. It says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek," that's you and I, we're looking for all this good stuff, amen? "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all the things that were just mentioned. But seek first the kingdom of God and his right standing." And I believe that the peace part of this thing is the righteousness. It is, I am righteous in the place that God has equipped me to be in this moment. Sometimes we get caught up, you know, especially in church life, it's all about working in the kingdom, working in the kingdom, working in the kingdom. But I got no peace. I'm running, I'm doing, I do have. And my state of being is just thrown off to the side. Doesn't matter how I feel, I've just got to do more. Jesus is very clear that how you feel in as you do what you do has an influence on it. Amen? "After all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the things that you have need of will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." I mean, he's like over and over and over. "Do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day it is in its own trouble." I'm here today to tell you that no matter what you have faced in your past, when you faced it, it was in the moment of eternity, which is now. Everything you've ever experienced in your life happened in the moment. Everything that's going to happen in your future is going to happen in the moment. It's not happened yet. You live in eternity. You live in the abundance of eternity by focusing on the moment that you have in the position that God has given to you and how you're going to respond in that moment. How you're going to think, how you're going to feel, how you're going to act, where you're going to go, how it's going to happen. All of those things are going to happen in the moment of time that you're there. Never forget, all you have is now. The harvest is when? Now. Let's move on to Romans 8, 38 and 39. I love this, man. I love the whole book of Romans. It's what got Romans 8. It's what got me on track for my whole life. You should study this chapter, live this chapter. I mean, your whole life will just take on a whole new meaning. It says, "For I am persuaded." Anybody in here persuaded? "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate Paul Burnett from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord." I don't know who everybody's Lord is in the world, but I know who my Lord is. And I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither this life nor the life to come nor any power or principality that's going to try to distinguish or extinguish, rather, my purpose, my position, what God has called me to do. And I'm not going to sit here and murmur and complain about it. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to get confused about it. I'm not going to doubt about it. I'm going to say, "You know what? God, I don't understand everything that's going on around me, but I know that you're here with me." And that's all that matters. You are the influencer of my life. You will be the one that says, "You know what? This is not the way I intended it to be." But Paul, through your great faith, not your little faith, but through your great faith, you will stand and you will see my hand move on your life. But that is true for every human being on the face of the planet. It's especially true for you who are in the kingdom of God. Be persuaded. Persuade yourself towards the things that God has called you to do. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for every little thing that comes across your desk." No, for absolutely nothing. But in everything, by prayer. You got to pray, guys. And when I'm talking about prayer, it's not the kind of prayer that you just go, "Oh, hallelujah, it's time to pray." Right. I'll probably trip and fall. It's not that kind of prayer, guys. It's the kind of prayer that says, "You know what? I have got to pray. I have got to get some level of direction in my life. I have got to pray for my enemies. I have got to pray for my circumstances. I need more of God." But most of us will choose another life where we don't have to pray, and you can just kind of skate through life, and everything's comfy and cozy and wonderful, and oh, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can't wait to go to church and hear another message about Jesus. There's a real battle that's going on, trying to separate you from everything God has called you and equipped you to become. And the only way you're ever going to become that thing is to stand in faith, believing God in his word. Some of you have little children, and some of you have older children, whatever it is. You're wondering, "How in the world am I going to make it to next week?" Create peace in your home. Create peace. Create peace in yourself, because you're never going to create the peace in your home until you create the peace in yourself. And I promise you, the peace that I'm talking about this morning is the peace that will pass all your understanding, where you're going to have to guard your heart and you're going to have to guard your mind towards the things that are going to want to try to get in there and meddle with what God has called you to do. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. This, to me, is the reason I pray. I want my mind and my heart to be guarded, not only by myself, but by God Himself. God, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm being, like the scripture, I'm being pressed on all sides. But in that place, just like Jeremiah prophesied to the people of Israel, in that place, you can create the peace that passes all understanding. And you will equip yourself to have your heart and your mind guarded by God Himself to say, you know what? I heard your prayer, Paul. I heard your prayer. And I am here to help you so that you can get through this and you can begin to establish the peace that passes all your limited understanding. Here's what I know about what I know. I don't know anything. Seriously, I mean, I know how to get from here to my house. Praise the Lord, I'd get in the car and take Greenway down there, turn right on 56, and I'm right there. I know 2 + 2. I know many of your names. But I'm telling you, from what I know to what is known, I know nothing. I literally know nothing. And what I've learned in my life is that I have to depend on something called the mind of Christ, which knows everything. Everything. And that literally by praying and believing God, I can receive divine inspiration into my life that can speak into my life a word that can transform me in a moment's time. And it's like, whoa, gee, I didn't know that. That is incredible. I think we call that in the body of Christ revelation, right? It's like all of a sudden, this download of information, something I wasn't aware of a moment ago, is now present in my life. And this is what prayer can do. This is where you can go from what you know to what God knows. Hallelujah is right. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, you don't need to beat up your neighbor. You don't need to yell at people. You don't need to scream. You don't need to do all that kind of stuff. But mighty in God for the pulling down of the strongholds that are blocking you from seeing what God sees. Casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against what God's called you to do. Bringing every single thought, everybody say every single thought. Oh, man. Anybody have any thoughts yesterday or today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing I've learned about thoughts is I can't control what goes in, but I can control what I dwell on, and I can also control how I feel about it. And that's what it's talking about. I didn't say take, block every thought. It said, take captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We, guys, I'm telling you, most of what we're facing in our lives is us. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready, everybody say, I'm ready. To punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I'm ready, man. Devil, you better be careful what kind of thoughts you're going to bring to my mind. Because I am going to take authority of that thought. I'm not going to dwell on that thought. And you are exposing yourself in my life for a punishment. And I'm going to hold the stick. I'm going to hold the staff, which is the word of God, and when I become aware of that thought that you bring to my mind, I am going to punish it with the word of God. And I promise you guys, you just start practicing these little things, and you start to take authority over your own life. Whose life is it? It's your life. It's your choice. God's given us one thing, which is our own free will. He doesn't come down and force you into salvation. He doesn't come down and force you into healing. He doesn't do that. He says, choose. Choose what you will do this day. Choose it. Bring it into your life. Refuse it. Whatever it is. What I do know is that the finished work of Jesus Christ has already been established. Whatever I have need of, right? That's what the Bible says. I can come and get that from God. And it's not like I'm taking. It's like my kids at home. I don't throw a lock on the refrigerator door. You know, ration the food. Well, you're taking that. I don't know what they're eating all day long. It's a lot of carbs. I do know that. A lot of sugar. But they can come freely. Take what they need. I'm not up there. I'm not up in my bedroom, you know, checking little things on a checklist going, oh, okay, they owe me this, that, and the other. Sometimes I joke with the kids. They get a little ungrateful sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to ramble through a few scriptures. I hope you stick around. I'm going to do second service today as well. Pastor Barb asked me to do that, and I'm more than happy to do it. So I'm kind of rushing through here, but Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Oh, man, when I read that scripture yesterday, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. It doesn't mean that someone else is moving you. It could mean that you're moving yourself, and he does not permit that kind of activity. He says, stay right where I need you. Stay right here. Don't worry. Jerusalem's not going anywhere. Just stay where I need you. He does not permit the righteous to be moved. Psalms 56:3-4. But when I am afraid, hallelujah, every once in a while you're going to get afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals or people do to me when I'm in my position that God has placed me in? I'm in great faith. What can people do to me? Great questions to start asking yourself this week. Hebrews 13:5-6. Don't love money. Be satisfied. Everybody say, I'm satisfied with what I have. Hallelujah. For God has said, I will never, ever fail you. I will never, ever abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. He will be with you. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. As much as you believe you're going to die someday and go to heaven, that scripture is true. And that scripture is true right now. I may not be in heaven yet, but I believe I'm going to arrive there one day. These are the kinds of scriptures that you can employ in your life today. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look, the fields, they are already ready for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap, hallelujah, I sent you, this is Jesus speaking, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You will never know the position that God has called you to be in this moment. Who sacrificed to make sure that that position could be even made available to you today? And many of the times we just get so caught up in the moment that we're not thinking of all of the things that have occurred to even create the opportunity that we live in. I look at this day and age and I see a lot of the elderly now, and they're kind of pushed off to the side, and you know, they're put in nursing homes and you know the whole thing. And my first job in healthcare was working in a nursing home. And I'm there and I'm going, my goodness, this is like prison. I don't know if any of you have ever participated in the process in which someone gets admitted to a convalescent center. First thing is, let's see if we can afford to bring you on. Second thing is, let's take your money. Let's take your car keys. Let's take your house. Let's take your money. Mike, you worked with me there at the nursing home. Oh, by the way, now that all that's taken away from you, now let's go and put you in a room with someone you don't know. Let's tell you what you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, and all of these kinds of things. I believe that the people of that generation who are alive today, I am so thankful for everything that they ever did for me. I am so thankful for your mom and your dad. Not that they're old like that. You know what I'm saying. But they're a generation ahead of me, right? For sure. And I just think of all of the effort and all of the time and all of the prayers and all of the faith and all of the sucking it up so that there could be an opportunity for us to be in a room like this. And if everybody in the world thinks that this is easy, just go out and rent a 20,000 square foot building. You know, just go rent one. Hallelujah. You'll get a little nervous every time you throw the air conditioning on, because the bill just, if you've ever seen a meter this size, you know, it just goes like this. You got a mortgage payment. You got all kinds of things going on behind the scenes that most of you are never aware of. But I want you to know, as much as that you're going through what you're going through, the greatness of you is there. The opportunity for God to move on your life in a significant way, to become a pillar of your community, is there. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for a burden. Don't take it for, oh my gosh, I got to go do it again. Really look at your life. Really understand where God has you in your life and begin to develop peace in your life right where you're at. And it's amazing what God can do in a short amount of time. I don't have time to read my final scripture today, but I will do it in the second service. But it's found in Isaiah, and I had the scripture listed here, and it's not on the top, so I can't even give you the reference. I'd have to read the whole thing. But I am going to close with the final part of it, and if you want to know what it is, I'll help you look it up later. It says, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. We've got to understand that the word that God speaks over our lives is a word that will not return void, but that there is a responsibility for us to pick that up, to develop peace in it, and to allow the houses to be built allow the children to be born, allow the gardens to be planted, and allow the life to be completed that God has for each and every one of us. I leave you today with a challenge this week. Establish peace in your life and see what God can do with it. Amen. Amen.